The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're still out collecting for the Women's Center and Shelter. Join Pony and Muller today at 9 Yards Golf in Washington from 2 to 6. Stop by and make a donation of any amount or drop off a gift card to a retail location. Or head to Porky's Bar and Grill in Etna on Wednesday from 2 to 6 to make a donation. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. All right, gentlemen. Now the Steelers, it feels like they just they did what they had to do in this game. And I know we've been saying all year, now we find out about the Steelers, but this really feels like it, doesn't it? And it starts with the state championship game, and then it's the Ravens, and then it's the Chiefs on Christmas Day. And I feel like, I feel of two minds here. Here's Schefter explaining why Pickens sat in week 14. Can you look that up on ESPN just in case it's on the main page with the Steelers limits, just in case there's anything there? That's the headline. Schefter explains why Pickens sat. Bob, on one hand, it's incredibly exciting, right? To see them measured against these teams, they're all going to be great games. On the other hand, I have almost a preseason mindset to this. Like, the main goal here is to come out with people like Cam and TJ intact and Russell Wilson. And this is, and it's not just the Steelers.
Buffalo.
And I'm not saying the league is picking on the Steelers. I'm not. I'm saying the Steelers are in this predicament with some other teams where they're being asked to do something that is unreasonable, stupid, and dangerous by the NFL.
All for its own, you know, monetary gain.
Yes.
That's all it is.
And I almost feel like, because they're going to make the playoffs no matter what, part of me almost feels like the big goal here is to emerge after Christmas Day with your stars healthy. Like, that would be a win. I realize there's a lot at stake here, but that feels like it would be the biggest win, especially, Bob, considering Tomlin's last, I don't know, 10 years of playoff football when they've been in it. No Le'Veon Bell 1 year, no Le'Veon or AB when they went to Denver and played Manning, no Ryan Shazier, no TJ Watt last year. It almost honestly feels like to me, just get out of this healthy and then move forward to the playoffs. Part of me feels that way.
Well, I can understand why. You know, Buffalo, they already clinched their division. They're playing for seeding. I get all that, but they still have to, and they're playing all their guys. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. You. What are you going to do? Not play these games? Of course you want to play these games. Winning a division means you got to beat Baltimore. That's all fine, but the way it's set up, again...
Do you have to beat Baltimore to win the division?
Well, how about if you lose to the Eagles and lose to the Chiefs?
Well, that's a different story, yeah. But you might not have to beat Baltimore because they got
to... But you might have
to. You might.
If you lose all three of those games, and I don't think that will happen, but if you do, all of a sudden you've opened the door for them.
For sure. But... Okay, here's how I would phrase it. I would trade not winning the division to be healthy. I mean, that's almost a no-brainer. Because Cam or TJ is going to be out.
Well, if you had that choice, yes, I'll take health going into whatever game it may be. Now, you say that knowing that you may risk going on the road in the first round as opposed to having a home game.
Yeah,
that's the only
that.
Difference.
All of that. And I'm not saying, by the way, that I'm sitting people in these games either, like it's the exhibition season.
All I'm saying is that's
like the number one prize from these three games, given the fact that it's a gauntlet of three games in 10 days against superior and highly physical competition. Please come out of this healthy if you're the Steelers. Give yourself a chance in the playoffs by having TJ and Cam. I mean, and then there is the question of load management in the games themselves. There's no way you can ask Cam to play 80% of the snaps in these three games. It's 10 days.
And you also have an injury potentially to Ogunjobi, which will take him out. You're going to have to rely on a lot of guys. Like we said, Dean Lowry, Loudermilk. Anyone else who's in that role. Keanu Benton's a young guy playing good. That's great. But you're right. Cam can't be in there all those plays. It's physically demanding. And you want him at his best and healthy in the most important games after that.
What percent did Cam play yesterday? Okay, see, this is smart. Cam was down to 61% mm-hmm. of the snaps yesterday. Is that right? Yeah, that's right.
That makes sense to me.
I like that a lot.
He's still a factor, but you don't have to expose him to, fatigue late in the game that could lead to an injury.
I think that's really smart. And now that you have four outside linebackers, you've got to manage your snaps there, too. You got to get TJ. I know this hurts, but you got to get him down to about 60, 65%. It's three games in 10 days. It's just idiotic. And the NFL should be ashamed of this crap. It really should, Bob.
That's what I think was at the beginning of the season. I thought it's done for, and I'm sorry, you got to tie the two together. The Hard Knocks, the opportunity to make a series that's going to sell more money and get people to bet on it, and you catered the schedule to accommodate the reality show. I mean, come on. Do they really need to go that far? And I'm sorry, but that to me is how it looks. They set this up deliberately to take advantage of this. And people will say, well, it's nice to get these head-to-head games all at once. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen one of these teams early in the season? I know they beat the Bengals already, but it would have been a little easier in the beginning of the season where they were struggling. How about the Ravens spread out over the – I still like that approach. But, money is money. They're going to do what they got to do.
Man, it's a battle for survival for them and the
Ravens.
Let me ask
you something.
The Ravens have the same thing happening.
Before they announced that they were going to play on Christmas Day, it used to be Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. If they're near the weekends, you can understand Saturdays or whatever.
Yeah.
When it was clear that it was going to become a Wednesday, a lot of people didn't think they'd go that far, but they did.
Oh,
were you surprised?
Further.
Were you surprised that they did?
No. If you told me that next year there's going to be two.
How about Tuesday?
I was just going to say.
What do you do then? You play a Friday game in Brazil on Friday night?
Well, if you can make money, they'll play on Tuesdays. If you told me next year there was Tuesday night football, I wouldn't blink an eye.
Yeah, but what does it do to the previous week?
I don't know.
I mean, when do you play that game then?
Yeah.
That's what I said. You got to make it on Thursday. The Thursday, then you have a short week twice in the same 10-day period. I don't know. It just seems like a lot of much.
Well, we have some updates here on George Pickens. We opened today with there are some conspiracy theories out there that some things people felt didn't add up. And was Pickens really hurt? Well, here's some updates on that. Limits, give us, these are two very reputable sources in Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette and Adam Schefter of ESPN. What's happening?
So first, Adam Schefter, this is what he had to say on the Pat McAfee show about what initially happened with Pickens and how long it could be out.
They absolutely were planning on him playing. Mike Tomlin said before the game that he thought he was going to play. And I think what happened was he woke up Friday morning. It was tight. They held him out of practice Friday. He went through the walkthrough on Saturday, and that was giving them the idea that he intended to play. And I think George absolutely intended to play. And then they met as a team before the game, and ultimately, I guess, medical people prevailed there. And like, you know what? Let's take the long-term view here. Let's make sure we're not pushing it today. Let's rest him on the hamstring. Hamstring injuries usually are multiple-week injuries. We'll see if he can make it back this week or not. But they decided that it was in his best long-term interest yesterday to hold him out of the game, and so that's exactly what they did.
See, that's almost in keeping with the theme that I hope that they uphold. Assuming all that is true, Bob, the long game.
Right.
It's time for the Steelers to at least put some consideration, as much as you want to win right now, to the long game and being healthy for day one of the playoffs, game one of the playoffs. That's the whole idea here, and that's what they haven't been a lot. They've been missing hugely important players for playoff games in recent years. This is smart. If all that's true, what he said, I think that was a smart move.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the right way to look at it. You know how important he is. Sure, you would like to have him this week against Philadelphia, but the looming game against Baltimore and then the Chiefs game after that, if you can get 2 extra weeks or, you know, 10 days to get that thing right, I think it's worth doing that. So this is the right decision to make. And he does feel strongly about the rest of the guys who can make plays. Not 10 a game. They're not going to be targeted 5 to 8 times, but they're going to make plays. They're going to be called upon. So, yeah, I think it's the right way to go.
And then we have Jerry Dulac, who apparently has reiterated what he said on the Post-Gazette post-game podcast, which is, I think he said, according to Crowley when I came in today, that Dulac said it was a grade 2 strain. But whatever it is, that there's a decent chance it'll keep him out against Philly, too. And that sucks in a big way. But again, it's the long game. And there's no need to push it right now. Yeah, you're pushing for a division title. Home playoff games are great. You know what's greater than a home playoff game? A home playoff game with George Pickens on the field and TJ Watt and Cam Hayward and Minka and Russell on the field. But that's greater than home playoff games.
You still
games.
Have to play the game, though. And these games are still important to where they
for sure.
And
they're big games.
If you have a chance to get a number one seed, and that still hasn't been ruled out, you know, that game in Christmas Day could influence it. You got to be at your best.
But here's the thing, Bob. If Pickens were available, if this were a playoff game, would you treat it like a playoff game? I wouldn't. Like, if Pickens, if you could say right now that, hey, if this were the playoffs, George would play, but we're really pushing it, I would say don't play
him. Which
game
are you referring to? This
Philly
coming
game.
Week?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't play him.
Me neither. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're important games, but they're not to the level where you would push a right. guy where he was 50-50 on a playoff game, you
right.
know?
Yep.
I think we agree on that, Bob,
totally
and it feels very
that.
Good to agree with you on something today. We've been at odds for a good portion of the show.
Yeah, both reasonable arguments, but I don't know. I just think that they this game in Philly is going to be a very interesting one. It's really going to test their run defense, which is statistically raced, you know, ranked very good. But Barkley's on such a pace, you know. You got to really – I'm sure Mike will refer to him as Mr. Barkley this week. Whenever he has that kind of respect and wants
oh, yeah.
to make people
yeah,
know,
Mr.
this
Barkley.
Is the guy we got to stop.
For sure. Are there any other misters in Philly, Bob? Mr. Hurts? Or he's not a mister.
Mr. Goddard, tight end?
No, he's not mister yet.
No.
No way. Maybe Mr. Brown.
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a mister yet. Any defense misters?
They got a good defense. I'll tell you what. They physically, this is the other problem with this schedule. They physically are going to play one of their most physical games against the Eagles, followed up by another very physical game against the Ravens, only to have 3 days later take on the Chiefs.
I know.
That's a physical gauntlet right there, I think, for, you know, the teams to go through. Russell Wilson, I said last week in Philadelphia, the way they get after a quarterback, I sometimes, you know, worry about his health. He's going to be back, and he better make sure he gets rid of the ball quickly or at least avoid some of that pressure because they'll bring it.
How many playoff teams have the Eagles beaten, Bob?
I don't know. I haven't looked at their schedule, so.
Two. No, three, if you include Washington. They did beat Baltimore. How many division leaders have the Eagles beat? Wrong. None.
Okay.
Is that interesting to you? It is to me.
Okay, let's look at the Steelers then.
Okay, look at the Steelers.
Same thing.
Have they beaten any division leaders? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I'm trying to rack my brain at the beginning of the year. No.
You're right about that. Okay, fair enough. Touche, Bob.
No, I'm just saying these teams are similar. They have
a lot. Yeah, it just makes me curious.
And the schedule is a schedule. I mean, you're not going to be the only thing that I didn't like about this schedule was how quick they made these three games play in 10 days, knowing that they were all physical, very, very intense games.
Well, I mean, Kansas City's going through the same thing. They're going into Cleveland, and the Browns can be a physical team. They got to deal with Myles Garrett and people like that. Then they play Houston. That's a tough game. And then they come here.
No,
they're on the same schedule.
I just, again, overall, I don't think it's the right way to go about this late in the year.
And by the way,
you're talking about safety and you're talking about having players available.
It's not.
Having a players available for the postseason, that seems to be their goal. They want all the quarterbacks available. By putting them in this situation, you risk injury.
If I'm the Chiefs, I might actually sit people.
So you're going to get a fourth-string quarterback like San Francisco had to do last year.
Yeah. Well, why? What do the Chiefs care? They have a two-game lead, or maybe it's one over Buffalo, for home
field.
They
also have the tiebreaker. The Bills have the tiebreaker over the Chiefs.
Yeah, they do. So it's really a one-game lead. Yeah, you're right. I was going to say they might wind up sitting some people, three games in 10 days. But their schedule's not easy. At Cleveland, Houston, at Steelers, and then at Denver to finish the season. The Chiefs are probably going to wind up sitting people in that game, assuming all goes well for them.
Can I throw something out at you just,
please.
Just because we're talking about quarterbacks? And I was watching yesterday the Minnesota game as they beat Atlanta.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that we'd be sitting here in week, what is this, 14 heading into, and asking the question, who is one of the best quarterbacks in the game? And the name Sam Darnold would have to come up. 28 touchdown passes. That's more than a lot of quarterbacks in the game right now. I'm not sure. If you look at the yardage, he has more yardage than just about every quarterback. And my question to you would be, would Justin Fields look at this as something that he would want to do after this year? In other words, take a one-year deal somewhere, like a Sam Darnold deal, and knowing that all the teams that he's not, you know, has failed with, parlay that into something that could be mega. Because I think
absolutely.
The problem with Minnesota now, you have J.J. McCarthy. What do? If you want Darnold back, they seem to want him back, what do?
You just make J.J. sit again.
Okay.
I mean, Mahomes sat for a year. Rodgers sat for three.
Do you think
three.
Fields would do that? Because I don't think both quarterbacks are coming back here.
Me neither. No, I think Fields would be happy to do that. Who has attempted the most passes in the NFL this season, gentlemen? Get a guess.
Well, he hasn't played every game, but can I? I would say Jameis Winston based on the time he's been in there because he's throwing it up a lot.
Geno Smith.
Do you have the stats in front of you?
I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You're right. Who has the highest completion percentage? Wrong. Tua.
Joe Burrow.
Tua does. Oh, my.
Who has the highest average yards per attempt?
Joe Burrow.
Wrong. Bob?
Darnold.
Wrong. Brock Purdy tied with Lamar. Who's thrown the longest pass of the year? 98 yards. You'll never get this one.
Bo Nix.
No, it's
not. Yeah, Nix had a big one. Was it?
I think it was like 95, maybe.
Sam Darnold had 97, but this man had a 98-yard throw.
Don't know.
Levis and Butthead. Who has the most touchdown throws?
Darnold.
Geno Smith.
Joe Burrow with 30. Who has the most interceptions? This should be an easy
Winston.
One. No, although most per game, yeah.
Aaron Rodgers?
No, come on, you guys. Come on, thank
Levis.
You like that?
Oh, does
Kirk.
He?
He had like 5-1
wow,
game.
Wow, I didn't know
yeah.
that.
15. Who has the fewest?
How about that decision they made to have him 4-year contract and they have Michael Penix?
Oh, my God.
Now they're going to have a real problem.
Kirk Cousins stinks. Who's been sacked the most times? 15 more times than anybody else, Bob. Wrong. Caleb Williams. And who has the highest passer rating? You each get one guess.
Again,
Burrow.
This is on
who?
The whole
Burrow.
Entire year?
No. Yeah. He said Burrow and he was wrong.
I'm going to go Darnold wrong. Again.
Lamar.
Okay. I should have known that.
Jared Goff is 2, Darnold's 3, Burrow. Tua, who hasn't even played much. And then guess who? Who's number 6 in the whole league? Wrong.
Russell Wilson.
Yes. 6 in the whole league. And I'm taking tweets from some guy telling me Russell Wilson stinks. What is happening here, Bob?
It's called Overreaction Monday.
Do we all agree that Josh Allen's the MVP?
Yes. I'd have to say absolutely. I mean, he accounts for just about every portion of their offense. How could you not take him?
Yeah, I started the bandwagon. I'm the conductor of the train for Josh Allen for MVP.
What do you think of that, him taking credit for that, Bob?
The Josh Allen train.
He is ridiculous. 3 touchdowns running, 3 touchdowns passing.
Just,
nobody ever did that. The game before he did
something,
nobody
injury,
ever did.
If there's one injury a team cannot afford to have of all the teams, I would say it's his. Can we get some music from Christmas along?
I can see if I can make that happen, yeah.
Are we allowed to play Christmas music?
Maybe we can do it ourselves.
We'll have to.
Do you have a song you'd like to make?
It's really funny you mentioned that. I was just about to say, do you want to do a quick practice session for the album?
What album?
The Malzy Christmas album, where one of us has to go low. Would that be you, Bob, or me?
It would be me. I can't go high.
All right, then I'll go medium, and then you have to go high, okay?
I'll try.
What are we doing?
So, I don't know. I didn't have anything in mind. Something original and a little practice snippet, like, up on the housetop, Malzy cries. His favorite, wait, let's try. Up on the housetop, Malzy waves. We need a rhyme with that. Oh, his favorite Steeler linebacker was Lauren Taves. You ready? Up on the housetop, Malzy waves. His favorite Steeler linebacker was Lauren Taves. Are you ready? Yep. Limits, you go high. Okay.
We're all singing this?
Say the first part again.
Up on the housetop, Malzy waves. Picture Malzy waving.
Hi, Malzy.
Up on the housetop, Malzy waves. His favorite Steeler linebacker was Lauren Taves. All right, you ready? Okay, Bob, you go low. You're going high, and I'm going medium. Ready? A one, a two, a three.
Up on the housetop, Malzy waves.
His favorite Steeler linebacker was Lauren Taves. Second part's a little clunky.
A little bit. You might need to get some sheet music for us.
But forget the second part. Up on the housetop, Malzy waves. I thought that sounded good. You ready?
Yeah.
A one, a two, a three.
Up on the housetop, Malzy waves.
His favorite Steeler linebacker was Lauren Taves.
Bob, I love how much you're into that. If we have the first part of this, Limits, I sense potential there. Did you?
Yes, but I do think we probably need it written down so that we can see it.
Yeah, you can't just spring this on us, you know.
No. That was just to get a taste.
I'm not a good freestyle rapper. I'm not Juice WRLD out here.
You rap?
No, I'm not. But Callus does.
That was a taste of what it could be, Bob. And I'm going to take some time to write. I write for a living, you know. And we're going to have maybe 6 or 7 songs. Donnie's going to do a dramatic reading, and it's time to start taping. It's time to stop talking about this and time to start taping. Game ball from yesterday, Bob. Who are you giving it to for the Steelers?
Game ball. I'm going to give it to Pat Freiermuth. I just think his emergence now is going to be big. He had a big reception and then a big touchdown reception, so the more they can get him the ball, he only had 3 yesterday, but all 3 were significant.
And in case you missed it, lots of excitement at the top of the show today. A man named Lucas Boyd tweeted in, said that he caught Freiermuth's celebratory punt, and he was hoping we could help broker a situation where Freiermuth would sign the ball. That brought Bob into the fray, and Bob gets things done in a hurry. Next thing we know, Freiermuth is calling the show, Limits, or at least calling Bob and saying, yes, he'll do it. And Lucas Boyd is the happiest man on earth. So I think Freiermuth, is that part of his MVP award, Bob? Most valuable person.
I think so.
Yeah.
Plus, he had the punt backing up George Pickens.
Yeah. A tribute to old George.
And then he told me, I once had a 68-yard punt. So he knows how to punt.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking, brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Your game ball, Limits, very quickly.
My game ball goes to Mike Williams. I know he had a push-off on one pass, but to see him more involved in the offense finally after a couple weeks with no targets, I think he could be a factor, and he's going to need to be in Philly.
My Steeler MVP and game ball goes to Jameis Winston. They should have carried him off the field at the end. I still can't believe the pass he threw to Keanu Benton.
That's who should be a game ball. It should be Benton. First career interception, and it turned the game around completely.
And he had a nice start in Cincinnati on that first series when they made the Bengals go 3 and out. They didn't do it much that day, but, you know, the game changes a little bit when you do that on the first series. All right. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 0% financing on all 2024 Chevrolet EV models up to 60 months through January 3rd with credit through GM Financial. High of 53 with rain. Bob, we'll see you later on in the week. Limits, I'll see you tomorrow, my friend. You're a wonderful man.
All right, guys. Have a wonderful day.
Good night, guys.
Bye.